Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. And while you're turning there, I want to thank you for your prayers for my father-in-law who has been sick. Monday, he had a very, very bad infection, and a lot of y'all have sent comments and prayed for us and our family. He went home yesterday after being in ICU for 4 days. And some of y'all don't know, maybe don't know my father-in-law, but he played football for Bear Bryant at University of Alabama, and he has lived in Gainesville for about 50-plus years. He is a Gator fan unless they play Alabama. One time, a Florida coach who he knew back in Alabama was the head coach here at UF, and he called him. He said, "Jerry, there's an old boy down in Florida that I'm trying to get to play for me here at Florida. He said he's a Baptist boy. Would you go visit him?" And so Mr. Brannon went and helped recruit for UF. And according to the story that I heard, that young man signed and came and played at University of Florida. So an Alabama guy actually recruited for the Gators. That's got to be a miracle right there. But anyway, but let me say this. Yesterday when we brought him home from the hospital, I went by the house. I had to get him a shirt to wear home, and I took him two shirts. This was going to be my test of how well he felt. I had one shirt that was just a long sleeve shirt he wears, and then I brought his shirt that he always wears when Alabama plays football. Of course, you know Alabama played yesterday, and the good news is Alabama won and Florida won, so isn't that great? So anyway, so I took both of them. I kind of wanted to see his reaction, and so I had the one over here, and I had the Bama shirt over here. He goes, "I want that one right there." And so we put it on him, and he got home. But thank you for praying, and they're still doing some recovery, and so we continue to need your prayers. We're thankful for that. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single. Some are married. Some have been married a long time. Some just got married. Some have kids. Some don't have kids. Many here today are believers, but not all. But we're all sitting here today, and we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and to make disciples, who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Amen. Jesus is wonderful. Let's look at our text today. This is our Bible study for today in Revelation chapter 18, and I'll read from my copy if you'll follow along in your copy of God's Word. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of the demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury.' And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow.' Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Verse 12, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Babylon had slaves, and he talks about that there at the end of verse 13. Verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their heads, and they cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her.' Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore.'" Verse 23, "The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth." Babylon the Great is fallen, and in verse 2 it actually repeats it. Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. It shows a dramatic effect by repetition. In chapter 17, Babylon the Great was the harlot, the religious idolater that sucks us into not knowing the truth and believing a lie. Here we find an economic Babylon, a political Babylon. It's the same Babylon, but we're learning, and there's two different chapters here, we're learning from a different perspective the demise of what is known as Babylon the Great. Now, Babylon was the religious harlot and the political and economic harlot. And so in verse number 6, if you notice in our passage, it says, "Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double." That's because in chapter 17 we saw Babylon judged, and now in chapter 18 we see Babylon judged again. An idol is a good thing we turn into a God thing. Let me say that again. An idol is a good thing that we turn into a God thing. We make it a God. And all throughout history, particularly mentioned in the Old Testament, the term Babylon is used for a world system that tries to distract people away from living life from God's perspective. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it became an image in Scripture of what would destroy or try to destroy God's kingdom. It has a demonic nature. This world system draws us in today. It will be very powerful in the end times. Now, what we're reading in the book of Revelation is during the period of the tribulation, the 7-year judgment of God upon the earth. The church has been removed. The church has been raptured. And now, all of a sudden, you have the world being judged by the Lord. And this Babylon, this world system that has wrecked and ruined lives all throughout history, is being judged in chapter 18. And so this world system tries to draw us in today, and it's very powerful, and it will be very powerful in the end times during this period of the tribulation. The Antichrist will fuel it and will give it power, and the Antichrist will be used in those days to distract many, many people. And yet we find that ultimately God will destroy Babylon, and that's what we're studying today. Now, we study this today for two reasons. Number one, to know that ultimately this world system that is designed to hurt people and to distract them from living life from God's perspective will be destroyed. So ultimately, our reason for studying this today is to know that in the end, in the book of Revelation, and in the end of the age, that Jesus Christ is going to destroy this world system that has wrecked and ruined so many lives all throughout history, and he is going to bring justice down upon that. So that's the first reason we study it today. The second reason that we study it today is to understand it a little bit more so that we can avoid it now. We want to understand a little bit about Babylon in the book of Revelation, mentioned in the Old Testament. We want to study a little bit about it now and its methods and the way that it tries to suck us into its ways to distract us from being committed and sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can avoid it now. There are three things in your outline there that I want to highlight as we study this passage together. Number one is the lure of Babylon. We find that in verses 1 through 6. It says in verse 3, they were drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication. It's the idea that you are sucked into her sensuality. As a matter of fact, if you look there in verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. What is the attraction? The attraction is that word luxury. You might want to circle that in your Bible. In some versions, it may say sensuality. The word luxury in the original language is the same word that we would translate sensuality. What is the lure of Babylon? It is sensuality. It is the lust of the flesh. It is some type of way to get your own way by buying into that system. And it says that the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. It says that all, in verse 19, all who had ships became rich by her wealth. And in verse 15, it says they became rich by her. It's almost a sensuality, a rabid lust that draws you in to the sin of Babylon, the lure. What is the lure of Babylon? The lure of Babylon is sensuality. I've heard this story several times. I don't know how if this is actually what would truly happen, but I've heard this story that in the north, among the Eskimos in frozen tundra, that the wolves would be treacherous to the people, and so they had to find a way to hunt them down. And they devised a plan to take a very sharp knife, and they would make it razor, razor sharp. And they would dip that knife in seal's blood, and then they would hold it out until it froze, and then they would dip it down in seal's blood. And they would just put layer after layer after layer of that blood. They would take that out to where the wolves were roaming, and they would plant that knife somewhere, and the wolves would get the scent of that blood, and they would become rabid. The lure of Babylon is like that. It sucks you in to where you can have everything you want. You think that life is made up just of material things, or life is made up just of pleasure, and you begin to go after it. Well, that wolf smells that blood, and he gets that blood. He begins to lick that blood, and he licks it, and before he knows it, he doesn't realize that he's licked down to the blade of that knife. And he begins to lick it, and it begins to cut his own tongue. But in his rabid desire, in his rabid lust for that blood, all of a sudden he doesn't know it, but he's tasting his own blood. And not long from that time he begins, will that Eskimo come up and find him dead. He's killed himself out of the lure and the lust of that blood. Well, Babylon is that way. It says in the passage that they became rich by drinking the wrath of her fornication. Now, John wrote about this not only in Revelation, but he wrote about it in the book of 1 John. If you want to turn back to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, you have a very important passage of Scripture for us today that tells us to not love the world. The Bible says this in 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, key verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You see there, he says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When I was a teenage boy and I gave my life to Christ, my pastor used to tell me that the devil only has three arrows to shoot at you. There's only three weapons against you: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are where you are susceptible. And that is the lure of Babylon. The lure of Babylon is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, we don't have time to study, but write down Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, where the serpent came to Eve. The Bible says that when Eve was talking with the serpent, the Bible says the serpent said, "You need to eat of that fruit, and you shall not surely die." And so the Bible says there around the middle of that passage that Eve saw that the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. She said, "I'm hungry. That looks good. I could eat that." And then it says that Eve saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. That's the lust of the eyes. And then Genesis says that she saw that the tree was desirable to make one wise. That's the pride of life. And so what is the lure? The lure of Babylon is luxury, which in the original also means the idea of sensuality. In my version, it says luxury or sensuality. So we find that is the lure of Babylon. But not only do we see the lure, then we see the lament concerning Babylon. Now, you know from our passage in verse 2, it says this: "He cried mightily with a loud voice." This is the angel in this tribulation period in the future. He's going to bring judgment down from God upon Babylon. And it says, "He cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird." That's a phrase used to describe demonic activity. That's exactly what Babylon became. And so we find that she was destroyed by the Lord, but there's some people that lament. Number two, the lament concerning Babylon. See, she will be judged. Death and mourning and famine and burning, for strong is the Lord who judges her, in verse 8. Therefore her plagues will come in one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, I want you, as we think about the lament, there's a lament in here. But before we look at all the different ones who were lamenting, I want you to notice her boasting. This is Babylon. And by the way, Babylon today thinks that it boasts about you. I believe this with all my heart. Satan believes you have a price. He believes there's a price at which he could offer you and you would cave in to your commitment to Jesus Christ. And so she was boasting. If you look there in verse 7, what does she say? It says, in the measure that she glorified herself. See, she was boasting about herself. And she lived sensually or luxuriously. In the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen. So she was boasting. Notice her boasting. But also notice the speed of the judgment. In verse 8, it says, one day she will be judged. In verse 9, it says, one hour she will be judged. In verse 17, it says she will be judged in one hour. In verse 19, it refers to one hour. Notice the speed of it. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you something. When God makes up his mind to bring judgment, judgment comes. Amen? Judgment will come. And notice the speed of it. But notice who weeps and wails. Well, the kings of the earth wail. It says in verse 9, the kings of the earth who had committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her. What had happened were these nations, they had bought into the beast. Now, you're going to have to go back. I can't rehearse everything in the book of Revelation every time we come to a new passage. But go back and study it. We've studied how that the beast had made agreements with kings. And these kings and these nations had gone into consort with Babylon and her ways. And boy, they were living lives of luxury. And politically and economically, they were intertwined with the beast and intertwined with the Antichrist. And so the kings, in verse 9 of the earth, who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament. And the word lament means a loud wail. And then you also see in verse 11 that the merchants, businessmen, will weep. Why are they weeping? They're weeping because of their losses. Then it says in verse 17, shipmasters or distributors, those that are in charge of logistics and distribution, they're going to weep and wail. The kings will weep and wail. The merchants, the businessmen will weep and wail because this system has been destroyed. And the shipmasters will weep and wail. Now notice why they weep. They weep because of their losses. In verse 15 it says, they became rich by her. It says in verse 19, all that had ships became rich by her wealth. In our passage, it talks about all the precious things that they had gotten rich off of. Gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of wood, ivory, most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, bodies and souls of men. They were involved in slavery and human trafficking. This is going to go to an exponential level. We see it all over the world today. We see it, listen to me, we see it even in our own country. Listen to me, we have it in our own community. People that take advantage of the unfortunate, and they traffic in things that are unspeakable. And this is what happens. And I'm telling you, God is going to bring judgment upon anyone who does that. I tell you, these people were wailing. They said, oh man, everything that's happened to us has come unglued. You know, I don't know all the story of this Jeffrey Epstein guy that was caught. There's so much that's unknown about it. You know, I know he killed himself, or he was... something happened to him. He died in prison, in jail. They've ruled it a suicide. They said he was on suicide watch. You know, this guy who was trafficking in people, in ladies, in little girls, and they finally caught him and they put him in prison. Don't you know what it's like? I wonder what it's like to sit there and think, you know, look what I've done, look what I've done. And he ended up taking his own life. He was wailing, thinking about the accountability that would happen in his life. It says in verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for is gone. That's why there was a lament. And can I tell you something? I'll tell you something, congregation. If you put your apples in the world system of Babylon, you're going to end up in loss. You're going to end up in loss. You're going to end up wailing. Notice how shocked they were in verse 10. The Bible says in verse 10, it says that at the end of that verse, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. What is like this great city, they said in verse 10 and in verse 18. And then in verse 19, they threw dust on their heads. They realized that it was over. And I want to say this to you because the application for us today, yes, we see what happens in the tribulation. God brings judgment. But you mark it down in your life. Lord, I pray you would laser this on my brain, laser this on my life and on the lives of these people. Every time we buy in to the sensuality of this world system, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, you mark it down, it will bring loss in your life. One day you'll wake up and realize, I'm a fool. I followed the ways of this world and did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and give my life to Him and my resources to Him. So we see the lure of Babylon, the lament concerning Babylon. The last thing is the light of Babylon. The bottom line is the light has gone out. Look at verse 23. The light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. The voice of the bridegroom shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. It has, the scripture's making it clear in our passage that this judgment, you say, man, the Lord really came down in 1 hour upon Babylon. Oh, let me tell you something. This judgment was deserved. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, it says in our passage, it says, rejoice over her, O heaven. In other words, there's a sense at which God is rejoicing. Heaven is rejoicing because this system that has dirtied and soiled young people and messed up lives and families is now going to be destroyed. Look at it in verse, rejoice over heaven, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. God has avenged you on her. I think about all the prophets and the apostles that were killed. I think about people in our world today that are being killed because of right, because they are living for Jesus Christ and telling people about Jesus. I think about John the Baptist in the scripture who stood, and I don't know that he did it quite this way, but I picture him with a bony finger saying to Herod, you should not be having Philip's wife. This is forbidden in the scripture. Herod couldn't stand it. He'd never faced up to somebody that had such backbone in his life. And John the Baptist said, you shouldn't be living that way. They imprisoned him. And then Herodias' daughter did a dance in front of him. Once again, that sensuality set in like a blood wolf licking that bloody knife. Boy, old Herod in his stupor said, I'll give you anything you want up to half my kingdom. Mike's over here. Hey, go ask her and tell her, I want the head of John the Baptist. And so that girl went up to Herod and prompted by her mother and said, I want the head of John the Baptist. And they went and they took John the Baptist. Think about the people that have paid the price for living the way the Lord wanted them to live. And so this is deserved. The light goes out in Babylon. And then it is decided in verses 21. It's like a millstone thrown into the sea. It says there's no music. There's no music. There's no craftsman. There's no prophets. There's no light. There's no happiness of bridegrooms and brides. Hey, weddings are exciting, aren't they? Weddings are glorious. We have weddings, people getting married around here all the time, young people falling in love, having weddings. Weddings bring excitement. And God says that when he judges Babylon, there'll be no weddings. There'll be no light. There'll be nothing of any value going on. Listen, Babylon has sidetracked so many people. I think about the story of my friend who was an attorney who told me the story. He said, Calvin, I represented a very wealthy family. They were in a dispute, and they made so much money. They made so much money. But their creditors, they were in such debt. By the way, financial freedom has nothing to do with how much money you make. I used to think, boy, if I just made a little bit more money, I could be all right. You know what? Larry Burkett taught me financial freedom has nothing to do with how much money you make. This couple, he was telling me, they made so much money. They lived on the river in Jacksonville, Florida. And yet they couldn't pay their bills. And they were under such stress. And they were in a deposition one day. And he could tell that the lady that he was representing, trying to help work these creditors out, she was just having a problem. And so he just asked the other attorneys on the other side. He said, hey, could we take a little break? And they said, sure, we'll take a 15-minute break and get a glass of water or whatever. So he got up and went and got some water. And he came back in the room, and he couldn't find his client. And he looked all around. He thought maybe she had gone, but she didn't look like she ever came back. And then all of a sudden, he looked under the table, and he said, Calvin, I'll never forget this sight as long as I live. Here was a very successful wife of a very successful businessman, and she was on the floor in a fetal position, shaking. That's what Babylon does to you. That's what Babylon has done to people. Don't go there. You know, it's not that there's anything wrong with money. Use it for the Lord. You know, Abraham was a very wealthy person. Did you know that? Let me just make this real clear. The Lord is not against wealth. The question is not, do you have money? The question is, does money have you? You see, Babylon wants you to serve money. And it wants to wrap you up in it so much that even someone with a tremendous salary, with a tremendous amount of resources, with a beautiful home that everybody thinks, oh man, they've got it together, ends up in a fetal position on the ground. And he told me later that lady said to him, Jim, I would give everything I have to have a family like you have, to have a relationship like you have with your Lord. That's what Babylon can do to you. Babylon can dirty up your life in that way. And it says that God is going to destroy it. It's like a millstone thrown into the sea, we find in verses 21 through 24. Let me just say this to you. Use your gifts for Jesus Christ. Use the giftedness that God has given. Hey, let me ask you a question. You're talking these college students. I was where you are years and years ago. You may become an engineer. I hope you, that's what you want to do, I hope you do it. You may become a medical doctor. It's a blessing. We've got some medical doctors, folks that are doing residency and stuff around here. I hope you have that dream. But can I tell you this? Hey, whatever God gives you to do, do it for the glory of God. Let me say this to you. Let's say you live your life and you make a ton of money. Let's say you make a ton of money and you heap it on yourself. Is that really what you want to do? Is that what life's all about? Old John Piper preached to some college students one time, and he said, you know what? He said, I'm just asking for a fourth of you to sell out to the Lord, and whatever you do for him, the rest of you can buy the way he put it, he said, the rest of you just go off and buy a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house and a Ford Explorer. He said, if that's what you think life's all about, go do it. Let me tell you this, the most exciting life in the world is to take the giftedness God has given you. If you're a scientist, be the scientist for God. If you're a doctor, be a medical doctor for God. If you're an athlete or a businessman or a school teacher, do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift him up. Honor him, and you'll be laying up treasures in glory. Listen, you're not going to take it with you anyway. You'll be laying up treasures in glory. You'll be leading people to Christ and laying up treasures in glory. I think about last year we had one of our former members here speaking, Dr. Michael Carmichael, who was a surgeon. Dad was in the hospital, and Dr. Carmichael had done surgery on him. He kept wanting everybody to know Dr. Carmichael did bypass surgery on him. I said, Dad, they know that, okay? They know that. But anyway, Dr. Carmichael was a gifted man. But he gives testimony of using the giftedness that God has given him to try to expand the gospel. You can be committed 100% to Jesus as a businessman. We need godly businessmen. We need godly teachers. We need people that are coaches. We need people that are politicians. We need people in every realm that are sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ and making a difference. Let me tell you this. Ravi Zacharias said this, and it's impacted me, and I've quoted it many times. He said, the loneliest moment in life is finally getting what you thought would deliver the ultimate and finding it wanting. Jesus said it this way, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I want to let you know, we've studied Great Babylon today for two reasons. Number one, I want you to know that according to the Word of God, God is going to bring it down and judge it. Number two, I want to avoid its lure for us. I want us to avoid its lure, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I want you to be convinced, and I am convinced, that the greatest life you could live is taking the giftedness and the resources God has given you and turning it and using it for the glory of God as a testimony to him. William Post won the Pennsylvania lottery. He won $16.2 million. They were going to give him installments of $400,000 a year. He received his first installment. By the way, he was a very poor man, only had about 40 bucks on him when he bought the lottery ticket. He won that lottery. He thought, man, my life is going to be forever ever changed. Anyway, later he was quoted as saying, nobody knows the nightmare that comes when you're into this. He took the first $400,000 installment and it was gone in 2 weeks. His girlfriend sued him and said he promised that he would share the proceeds with me, and she won in court, and he couldn't pay her because he'd spent all the money. And so they froze all the future payments. He had to declare bankruptcy. He finally ended up, out of $16.2 million, he finally ended up with $2.6 million, and he spent it real quickly, immediately. He was arrested for assault because someone kept coming up to him wanting his money, and he shot a shotgun at him, and he was arrested for assault. His brother hired a hitman to try to kill him, to try to kill him and his wife, because he was the beneficiary of the thing if they died. He was on his sixth wife. He died 13 years later, penniless. I just want you to know something. There is a system out there that the Bible calls Babylon. And if you start smelling that blood and you don't put all that you have under the lordship of Christ, before you know it, you're going to realize it's going to come down and you're going to be lamenting and you're going to be wailing. I pray that we would realize that God is going to judge Babylon. He will do that in the future. And let us now avoid avoid what Babylon tries to bring into our life today. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.